Friends, our gospel lesson this morning is the Christmas story from Luke 2. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem because he was descended from the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words in her heart and pondered them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. This year, I was struck by the fact that the arrival of the angels with the good news, it all happened at night, in darkness. That's when the angels appeared. That's when the glory of the Lord, that's when the good news of great joy arrived. And that cannot be an accident. I've been reading a magnificent and unsettling book by one of my favorite authors. Her name is Barbara Brown Taylor, and she's a former Episcopalian priest who is now a writer and a professor. And she wrote this book called Learning to Walk in the Dark. And the title tells you about the subject. She actually did research, months of research, about darkness, being in the dark, and what we learn from that. She did fascinating things. She went and explored what are called wild caves, not the touristy kind, the kind where there's no lights, and you get down on your belly and shimmy through the different openings, where it was completely dark. She also attended special meals that were hosted, and everyone was expected to be blindfolded during the whole entire meal to experience what it would be like to not have your sight. She went to a museum where a blind guide gave blindfolds to all the tourists, and they toured the museum listening to the blind guide tell them what was in this place. All this to learn about the power of darkness, of night. Why? Because we kind of default to thinking about light and dark only one way. We assume that light is good and dark is bad. Think about that for a minute. Don't you think of that often? That light is good, dark is bad. We prefer light. I really prefer light. I can't understand why my husband wants to work in his home office with only a small lamp on, squinting at a computer screen. I walk in, turn on all the overhead lights, and all throughout our house, My vision is much worse than his, so I have to have these super firefighter bright lights to find everything. But darkness has something important in it. And darkness is about more than just not seeing. It's about fear as well. Many people are afraid of the dark. Most of us are unsure of total darkness. Nyctophobia, that's the technical term for being afraid of the dark. We tend to panic when everything goes black at home, right? When all the lights go out and you can't even find a flashlight. We associate darkness with things like crime, ghosts, things we don't understand, things we are afraid of. We've essentially loaded the idea of darkness with all kinds of meaning. But nowhere in Scripture does it say that all darkness is bad and all light is good. The Bible does say things like 1 John 1:15, that God is light. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, speaks about Jesus coming into the world as a light, coming in the darkness. But amazing things also happen in the dark, at night, in the Bible. Creation comes out of darkness. Many revelations and visions from God happen when? At night. People are asleep. We even start our worship service aware of this. By welcoming the light of Christ coming in, what do? We turn down the lights. Because it's so much brighter, so much more meaningful to really see the light of Christ coming in when it's dark. Taylor says that our lives do not always fit neatly into categories of this is light and this is dark. That might be an understatement. We want to see some things as light and good and other things as dark, bad. But what if light and dark are not just opposites? What if they're kind of like doubt and faith that seem to be opposites, but they actually can and should exist together in our lives as Christians? What if dark and light is like that? What if we need some of the dark to actually find God? Taylor talks about the dangers of a full solar spirituality for Christians. Now, that kind of faith assumes that God's job is to bring us only light. We want everything to be sunny all the time. And if it's not, we wonder if that's wrong, sinful, evil. Maybe we don't have enough faith. We all have heard this type of thinking, and many of us have thought it ourselves. We assume that God wants us to have a sunny life, always, bright light. But Jesus said he came to bring abundant life. And what if there's something we can learn from Jesus when we are in the dark? What if there's something truly awesome that we can only learn from Jesus in a lunar spirituality? A faith that exists in the dark. I was thinking that this is probably why I love Streams in the Desert devotional so much. Because it speaks so often of these dark nights that we walk through. And don't we all walk through dark nights of the soul? And we encounter this as Christians not because we are bad, not because we have too little faith, but because we are seeking God and seeking to live a faithful life, which includes walking through darkness with God. In fact, over centuries, Christian mystics have written about this, the power of darkness. St. John of the Cross was a Carmelite monk who wrote about finding God in the dark, and he wrote about it from a dark prison cell. Paul also wrote from a dark prison cell some of the most beautiful letters in the New Testament. What if dark is not just dark to God? And what if it's not always bad for us? In fact, if we look to the biblical ancestors, we find story after story after story of finding God in the dark. The promise God gave to Abraham was what? That his descendants would be as numerous as the stars. When could he see that? At night. Jacob wrestled with God overnight and received a new name, Israel. The exodus from Egypt, that started overnight when firstborn sons of the Egyptians were killed and God's people were spared and they were moving out of Egypt. Manna came in the wilderness overnight as they wandered. And all this doesn't even mention the power of dreams that happen when we're asleep at night. Joseph dreamed about his brothers and his future. Jacob dreamed about a ladder up to heaven. Samuel heard God's voice calling to him in the night. Daniel had dreams and visions at night in his captivity. Peter saw a vision at night of clean and unclean things together, which brings us to this story, the birth of Jesus. Throughout the prophets, the Messiah is the one who comes as a light. Where? Into the darkness. And Jesus did, in fact, come at night. In fact, when you think about it, Jesus entered and left the world in the dark. What does that mean? He was born at night in Bethlehem, likely laid in a cave kind of structure, an underground room where they kept the animals. It was probably pretty dark when they laid him in that manger. And he left this world breathing his last on the cross. And what happened? Everything went dark in the land. In fact, Easter morning, the story begins while it was still dark. Mary came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away. So what if some new life actually starts in the dark? We tend to complain about darkness, especially as we're walking through it, but what if it can bring some good as well? What if it can bring birth to life? What if darkness is a part of life and a part of goodness? Have any of you ever been blindfolded playing a game? Do people play pin the tail on the donkey still? I don't know. Maybe it's something new now, like in a video game. But if you've ever been blindfolded for any length of time, you quickly learn that losing your sight means that all of your other senses are heightened. And when you think about being blind, think about how intimate that is for people who cannot see. How do they see things? They touch it. They touch your face. They touch the table. They touch the objects and they smell them. And they hear even the smallest sound, like the difference in different trees. They can see things, if you will, because of the sound, the texture, the weight, the shape. When you think about it, think how powerful that is. What if all of us need some darkness to understand the world? It's true that people who never have darkness just tend to kind of lose it. There's this circadian rhythm of our bodies, an internal clock that keeps our days and nights straight, and it requires some time in the dark. That's why they tell you to turn off the TV, turn off your cell phone, don't let the lights be all around you at night, because our bodies need the quiet and the dark. We sleep better without light. So what if darkness is not all bad and there are awesome things that can happen? This makes sense. Think about the night sky. You can only see the brilliant twinkling stars whenever it is dark. You can only see the beauty of the moon whenever you have the blackest night. In her book, my favorite poet, Annie Dillard, says, "You do not have to sit outside in the dark. But if you want to look at the stars, you'll find that darkness is necessary, but the stars do not require or demand it." We don't have to learn lessons in the dark. We can insist on wanting only light, but what if we decided that we would walk through the darkness with Jesus? to learn what God has to teach us, to find our Savior who came as a light in the dark. This beautiful story of the Savior's birth, it has a lot of darkness in it when you think about it. This is a young, unwed mother traveling for miles when she's 9 months pregnant. He is a man marrying a pregnant bride. They leave their hometown and go to a place where there are no upper rooms, and they have to stay basically in the cave with the animals. Talk about walking through a dark valley. Can you even imagine what they were thinking when all this happened? What? Today, a woman goes into labor and you pick up the suitcase and get all excited and rush to the hospital. But this happened where Mary said, "It's time." And he said, "No, not here. Not right here. Not in the dark. This is supposed to be a time when families rejoice. This is supposed to be a time where all the women folk get together and swap labor stories. And the men pat each other on the back. And they talk about congratulating this new life. But instead, God used darkness to enter the world. And the shepherds, they heard that good news. It came to them as they were watching their flocks by night. The good news arrived. The angels pierced a dark, silent night. So what if we need some of the dark as much as we need the light? What if Jesus came to show us that there are miracles that happen at night? In the Bible, we see this. In John 9, there's a story of a man born blind who is healed by Jesus. But the story actually ends not about this man receiving his sight, but about Jesus talking to everyone else who had a real problem with this miracle. And Jesus says in John 9:38, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Did you hear what Jesus said? He said he also came that people who can see become blind. Why? What if it's because we have something to learn in the dark? It's kind of one of those weird things that Jesus says when he says things like the first must be last and the last will be first. If you want to save your life, you have to lose it. If you lose it, you will save it. What if Jesus knows we need this? Do you know that the date of Easter has to do with the darkness and the moon? The celebration of Jesus' resurrection is actually determined by the cycle of the moon, because Easter falls on the full moon on or after the spring equinox on March 21st, which is why it's a different date every year. What if God knows something we need to know? Like miracles happen at night. Like joy breaks into our lives at night, especially at night. It is in the dark that we can truly understand the meaning of Jesus, light of the world. And that first silent dark night sets a pattern for us as we welcome Jesus at Christmas. I loved a message I read this week by Alicia Bruxfort, and she said, "The message the angels proclaimed on that Bethlehem hillside long ago didn't just change the course of one silent night. The good news of great joy changed the course of every silent night to come. Because we have a Savior who lingers beside us on our long silent nights. His name even says it. Emmanuel, God with us." I don't know about you, but thinking about miracles that happen even in the dark really helps me, especially at Christmas. Christmas is a beautiful and lovely time of year, but for so many people, in fact, I would argue for most adults, it can also be a time of darkness. We may see lights on all the trees and the houses, but in our hearts and homes, sometimes, even in this joyous season, we are overwhelmed with darkness because our lives, our families, our world, they do not reflect the Hallmark card or the Hallmark movie. And not every story in our lives has a happy ending. But one day, all stories will. One day, Jesus will come again and make everything bright. Until then, our job is to walk with him, even through the night. At Christmas, we need Jesus, that light shining in the darkness, so that we can truly see him, truly love him. That is the good news of Christmas. Good news that I need, and I imagine you do too. So early Merry Christmas, my friends. And for that, all God's people said,
Amen.
Friends, let us stand and affirm our faith with the Apostle.